ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. A big, big, big show. One of our very personal favorites, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, coming up in less than half an hour. Lawrence Korb, I call him Larry, Assistant Defense Secretary under Ronald Reagan, to talk about Afghanistan. Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal, and the first ever edition of Tuesdays with Tyler, Aisha Tyler, comedian extraordinaire.
I have a best
gorgeous, smart, funny hater will be here live in studio with us to torture Jim in hour three.
I have a bit of a behind-the-scenes story about that booking.
Oh, okay. well, she's very busy. She might not be able to do every Tuesday, so they said don't call it Tuesdays with Tyler. However, I'm thinking if Shano can get a jingle ready by hour three, once you have a jingle, there's no going back. If we do a jingle...
Yeah. They said, is this happening every week?
Well, that's what she told me on the set of Larry King.
All right.
Uh-huh. But I think a lot of people, I'm getting a lot of sympathy for having a cast on my foot. I was like, please?
She said, okay. I think even if she's on once a month, we could still call it Tuesdays with Tyler.
It will be Tuesdays with Tyler.
Yes.
Okay. Or she could say I can do it on the phone. She travels a lot.
That's right.
Whatever.
Okay. Ha-ha, Aisha Tyler's people. It's Tuesdays with Tyler. Tuesdays with Tyler.
If Hal Sparks can do it, Aisha Tyler can do it.
Have you ever noticed how I always do exactly the opposite of what you tell me?
Yeah,
their people said, do not say this, and then I say it and make your job a lot harder.
Well, yeah.
All right. I will be, Mama's coming to Seattle, everybody. It's the big town hall we do every year with Tom Hartman, Norman Goldman, Randy Rhodes, Mike Malloy, and special guest Ron Reagan, all of us. It'll be, where is it? Saturday, August 14th. Tickets still available, going fast, though. Go to am1090seattle.com, and you can submit questions. We'll be doing a Q&A.
Right.
You can submit your questions there at am1090seattle.com.
Come see
Mama and the crew.
There's still a few good seats left, so get them while they're still available.
They're hot.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Speaking of hot, obviously the immigration debate heating up. Lindsey Graham apparently picking and choosing which parts of the Constitution make his nose wrinkle up now.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly the 14th Amendment. Yes.
I thought right-wingers were strict constitutionalists.
I thought so.
And now they want to change it willy-nilly.
Yes.
Okay.
Goodbye, anchor baby Michelle Malkin.
All right.
That's right.
Take care now. Bye-bye then.
All right. We have somebody qualified to beyond compare to talk about this. The president of the National Council of Churches, Reverend Peg Chamberlain, joins us now. Good morning, Reverend.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Great to be with you.
Well, you are speaking out, obviously, against the Arizona immigration law on behalf of the Council of Churches. Tell us about that.
National Council of Churches, which has a constituency of 45 million Christians in this country, through our leadership, have all said it's time for comprehensive immigration reform. And it's not just us. The U.S. Catholic bishops have added to that conversation. And earlier this year, I was sitting in the West Wing. Right next to me was a high-level leader in the National Association of Evangelicals. Now, we don't always agree on things, but the evangelicals, the mainline Protestants, the Orthodox, the Catholics have all come together and said, it's time for comprehensive immigration reform.
Well, I mean, that's what I was going to say. Your group, I mean, it crosses racial, ethnic, and religious divides, and I think speaks to the fact that this really is a big moral issue.
It is indeed. I think our tradition tells us that we need to welcome the stranger. Many of the stories of Jesus have to do with people who from foreign countries that he engages with, like the Good Samaritan who crosses over the boundary. I think also we are concerned about things like families. We don't want our families divided. Kids do not need to see their parents headed back to some foreign country, families divided. So there are lots of moral issues. Now, we know when we get to the political table. Not everybody agrees with us, but there are lots of practical reasons that we need to make this happen as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Reverend, you know, this is, we talked to Reverend Jim Wallace, obviously, a lot about issues like this as well, that, you know, there's been this assumption for so long that, you know, conservatives are religious and they would all feel the same way about certain issues. And, you know, more and more religious leaders obviously have been speaking out against, whether it's the environment and immigration, other things that are, and as you say, that's a family values issue too, splitting up families.
Absolutely. And it's a workers' fairness issue as well. The current system allows unethical employers to take advantage of hardworking, undocumented workers. They underpay them. They follow unfair labor practices. They don't pay the taxes that are due to the rest of us.
That's right.
For that employment. And so that undercuts all legal workers in this country as well. So we think there are legal issues, that we think there are worker labor issues, family issues, as well as that central concern about welcoming the stranger. We've got a very narrow door in the U.S. right now for immigration issues. It's not working, and it's an unfair, a dysfunctional process.
And, Reverend, I think, when you bring up the worker issue, I think that's a really important part of it, you know, why you have to have comprehensive reform, and you can't just go after one segment or another. I mean, because in the workplace, I mean, if you just go after the workers, and, you know, I was seeing this sheriff on TV that keeps clearing out the workplace. Well, you know, if you don't go after the employer, too, he just gets more illegal immigrants in there than that. You know, it's not doing anything for the problem, is it?
Right, it's not, and I think it's dysfunctional at every point along the system. We had quite an incident in the Midwest in the Postville raids, the ICE raids, and what we found there was that the employer was going after recruiting people out of Guatemala to come to the United States, luring them with a significant wage from their perspective, but also not dealing with any of the legal issues that needed to happen to make that work. And that hurts all of us. But we can't also afford to just simply send people back. Nobody knows what the deportation cost would be. A Perriman Group study showed that mass deportation would shock local economies, resulting in about a $1.8 trillion annual loss in spending. These are dollars that are being spent in our economy right now. We need those dollars here.
Reverend, let's talk about the Arizona law in particular, because obviously that's what you were speaking out about. What are the obviously there were some parts of it that were some portions that were blocked by the court, and obviously a lot of those, you know, the ones that most of us feel are just blatantly racist, right?
Absolutely. All the leaders in Arizona came together and said, this bill won't solve the issue of crime along the border, but it will demonize anyone who looks suspiciously like an undocumented person, leading to what we all have expected, inevitable racial profiling. So let's not do this, the religious leaders in Arizona were saying. And many of us from around the country have come to agree with them on that. They're holding regular vigils, prayer services, and so forth to say, you know, this isn't who we want to be in this state or in this country. So we've applauded the legal challenge to that.
That's right. I've used the word un-American, but you know, this, I think this law is un-American. It's not who we are.
Absolutely. And during Lent last year, the religious leadership, including our own at the National Council of Churches and others, called this an unpatriotic act. This isn't who we have been in the United States. We have valued immigrants. We haven't often valued them as they were coming.
Right.
But within a decade, immigrants have been such an important part of our country. And they are right now, economically, morally, ethically. This is an important part of the country's ethical life to make this decision. And that's part of what we're saying right now. Let's get this out and into discussion on Congress.
Reverend, I was going to say, what, you know, when you bring up politics, though, what, does it bother you, these, you know, because believe me, it's what gets thrown at me all the time when I'm on TV or wherever debating this, is that, oh, this percentage of the American people are for this Arizona law. Does that trouble you?
Well, I also hear that two-thirds of the Americans want comprehensive immigration reform, too.
Right.
And state-by-state laws are not going to be comprehensive immigration reform, even if they are found to be legal, which I think we know they won't be.
Right. That's the thing, is people, you know, use that to further pit people against each other. Like, you know, like the president is out of some kind of personal tiff going after Arizona. You know, it's these people, as, you know, my producer here said, you know, they're the constitutionalists, I thought, you know. And that, I mean, it seems to me that the president is bound by law to do this because it is not constitutional. You know, immigration is a federal issue.
Well, and of course, there are voices who are going to be spouting some of what you've just suggested there, Stephanie. But that's all the more reason that the rest of us, the reasonable sort, you know, need to say, all right, this is how we do things here. Let's work at it together and get it done. You know, and this has got to be a political decision, finally. It's a public policy issue. And that's how we live together in the United States. We decide together how we're going to make these decisions and where we're going to go with them. And so part of what we're trying to say is there are lots of people of faith who think we need comprehensive immigration reform. Let's do it,
Reverend. What can we do to help? And tell us, you know, what you're doing. Is there a website? Is there some? How do we get involved in this?
Yeah, there are a number of places to go. There's something called the Church World Service. There's a National Council of Churches. Both have things on their website related to this. But the primary thing is simply call your congressperson, call your senator, and say it's time. They don't think on Capitol Hill that the American people care about this issue. We need to tell both sides of the aisle in both houses of Congress, now is the time.
That's right.
Comprehensive immigration reform, please make
right.
it happen this
yeah.
year.
People are not, I think you're absolutely right, not for the Arizona law per se. They are for fixing the immigration system, and out of frustration for that, I think they're saying they're for, you know, the Arizona law. But like you say, if you go deeper in the polls, what they really want is comprehensive immigration reform. So do it. The Reverend says, do it now.
Do it now.
I went to Catholic school, and when a religious figure tells you, just do it. Call your congressman or your senator, Reverend Peg Chamberlain of the National Council of Churches. Thanks so much, Reverend.
Thanks, Stephanie. It was great to be with you.
You too. There she goes.
Hooray.
Reverend Peg.
And
all right,
we have a link to her website up on our website at stephaniemiller.com.
Speaking of immigration, I heard something about my new boyfriend, Jim Gilchrist of the Minutemen. That I just saw
That's
at Larry
gross.
King. I'll tell you what when
Good
we continue.
God. What is wrong with you?
18 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sorry, that's inappropriate.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
And it feels like home when you call my name.
Stephanie Miller.
It's like a little prayer. I'm down on my knees. I want to take you there in the midnight hour. I can feel your power just like a prayer. You know I'll take you there.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Did I mention that Tuesdays with Tyler is coming right up?
What was that? Tuesdays with Tyler?
Yes, Tuesdays with Tyler. Aisha Tyler will join us in hour number 3. Why do we say it like that? Because Shano, the official montage maker of the Stephanie Miller Show, requested if we say it a few more times, he can have a jingle ready by hour number 3.
He wants us to say Tuesdays with Tyler?
Tuesdays with Tyler. Okay.
Tuesdays with Tyler.
And then it will be too late for her people to do anything about it, because there will be a jingle. All right, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone. We never hear that anyway. Oh, we don't know if they can do it every week. Okay. Tuesdays with Tyler. All right, 24 minutes after the hour. Oh, so I was just talking about the immigration debate with the good Reverend Peg.
Yes.
And you remember I met Jim Gilchrist at the Larry King Show the other night, the Minuteman.
And you fell in love with him.
No, he fell in love with me.
Oh, okay.
He wants to kiss me and date me.
I wonder how the lovely Mrs. Gilchrist feels about this.
Who cares? No, I mean, at first he said, his first words, it was like a romantic movie. He said, I hate you. And I was, you know, right away, it was like magic. Mm. And then I told him he had beautiful blue eyes, and he came around, and then he came on the show with us. And we still disagree on everything, but he said he likes me now. And so on Rachel Maddow last night, I see that he's in a scandal. He's been selling his endorsement to Republican candidates. I got it for free. He said he likes me for free, and he hates me, which either way is an endorsement for me.
Why didn't you get any money from him?
No, you're supposed to pay him for his, you know, immigrant-hating, special, snarly kind of endorsement that Republican candidates crave.
You should have still tried to get some money from him. He doesn't seem all that.
I always thought those Minutemen, they were just jealous because they couldn't climb any fence with those giant beer guts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why they felt the need to... All right. It took them a long time. Did you ever see those pictures of them in the with the beer cans and they're building the fence? And it's like, oh, that's going to take you... The shape you're in, that's going to take you a long time. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Robert in Wisconsin, my trucker friend. Hello, Robert.
Good morning. Love your show. And
thank you.
Especially that Charlie Rangel guy.
Charlie Rangel? Thank you.
Yeah.
Why, thank you.
You know, I listen to your show a lot in the morning as I'm on Sirius
Trucking.
Radio.
Yes.
And I was just troubled by the good reverend you had on there a while ago. You know, I see a lot of the results of the illegal immigration in this country. And
well, she's not for illegal immigration either.
Well, but she's for amnesty, basically.
Uh-huh. And how do you know that?
How do I? Well, because isn't that the code word for it, comprehensive?
No.
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 No, not. Well, I guess maybe there's an exception in there somewhere. I haven't heard it.
No, I think a pathway to citizenship is different than amnesty.
Yeah, it's getting in the back of the line.
Amnesty's a Minuteman word.
Well, okay, then let's don't use that one. It was the Republicans. They want to hire them. They want cover so that they can say, well, we didn't know they were illegal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats are willing to take some, well, I don't know what word, but amnesty. We'll make them wait 7 years so they're here deflating wages, yet they can't vote for Democrats. Hey, it's the best of all worlds for Republicans.
Hmm. Yes.
I think that you know, it's a complicated problem. But first of all, you need to deal with the illegal employers and be,
yes,
you know, a good Samaritan to the ones that are here. If they've got to go back, and I think most of them should, they will go on their own. But, you know, give them some money to go.
Robert, who's going to pay for all of that? Who's going to pay for shipping them back?
Who's going to pay? Well, I think probably some fines on the employers would be a good start.
All right. I don't think the Reverend Peck really is interested in the political discussion.
No.
I really think she's interested in the moral implications of the whole thing.
Right.
So,
and Robert seemed to think that, you know, who, in terms of who will benefit politically, and that's really not the way to go at this problem.
Joe in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie, well, I tell you, I really feel strongly about this issue. I pulled over a few times. I waited for Leslie Marshall for 45 minutes and never got on. I am, when my life is over, I will have voted for Obama twice.
Uh-huh.
I agree with probably 98% of everything your radio station says.
Uh-huh.
My wife is Hispanic. My kids are half Hispanic. All my in-laws are. But I really feel like you guys are kind of missing the boat a little bit on this
how so?
Illegal immigration issue.
How so?
When I am inclined to agree with you, but what I take out of a lot of the conversations is that if you are not against the Arizona law, that you're somehow got some kind of racist attitude. It is a frustrated response.
I think it is a racist law. I'm not saying everyone that's for it is racist, but yes, I think by virtue of what the law is, it is racist.
It is racial
profiling.
If a crime was committed by a white person in a blue Mustang, should they pull over black people in blue Mustangs?
That's not what this law is. This is that's just you're talking about typical police work. Like, yes, you look for whatever whoever the suspect is, but that's not what this law is. This law is you can stop anybody on the suspicion that they're illegal. What is going to make you suspect that? Come on.
They're brown.
Yes, let's be real. I mean, please, what would make you suspect someone's illegal just on sight? Unless it's racial. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You complete me. You know that? You just make me want to be a gayer man.
How many times have I heard that? 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Oh, you know what? I had the worst morning. I tripped over a giant bag of cash that Meg Whitman left on my doorstep.
Oh.
Her spending has hit $99 million of her own money here in California, and I'm still not going to vote for her.
It was in a sack with a dollar sign on the side of it.
And if you vote for her, I'm going to shove you into an Asian underling. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. We can't get enough of the Meg Whitman jokes.
I know.
Even though they're so yesterday. All right.
So yesterday.
All right. The owner of the best brain and the best hair in Congress, Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, joins us now. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. Thank you. That's a double compliment first thing in the morning.
Yes. Yes. You have today's hair. So let's talk economy, because that's obviously front and center in everybody's mind. We've obviously, some of the recent numbers not so great, correct?
Well, that's kind of what Fox News would try to paint. But while the GDP didn't grow as much in the last quarter, we're still in our fourth consecutive quarter of job growth, fourth consecutive quarter of growth in our economy. We still have been adding, we went through six straight months of private sector job growth. So we are definitely, when compared to a year and a half ago, when the economy after President Bush's term was over was bleeding 750,000 jobs every month, now we're adding an average of 100,000 right. jobs a month. So things are definitely moving in the right direction, even though we do have quite a ways to go.
Well, as the mother of two toddler twins, I know you know what it's like to hear from the back seat, are we there yet?
All three of my kids definitely want to speed things up when we're driving, and I know the American people want to speed things up as far as the economic recovery, which is why we'd love to have the Republicans cooperate with us and pass the small business bill in the Senate this week, make sure that we can focus on creating jobs and the economy, but they've done everything they can to throw obstacles in our way, and they've mm-hmm. done the same in the House, but mm-hmm. we're continuing to focus on that job growth, focus on the economic recovery. I want to actually highlight, Stephanie, a particular piece of the recovery, and that's the auto industry.
Yep.
A little over a year ago, everybody was, about to do the death march for the auto industry.
Yep.
And under President Obama's leadership and the Democratic Congress, we, made a significant investment in GM and Chrysler, because we wanted to make sure that we could continue to make things in America.
Right.
The American auto industry has a proud tradition, and now, as opposed to walking away, now with that investment, the auto industry's factories are fully up and running. They are operating at full tilt, and the auto industry has recovered.
And how else do you spin that, Congresswoman? It's amazing how, our friends on the right, on behalf of America, can just never admit when they're wrong. I mean, the president pointed this out the other day that, how is this not a good result? That this many millions of jobs were saved, this American industry was saved, and that they're going to be able to pay us back with interest.
That's exactly right. We would have lost a million jobs, and I remember the Republicans dancing on the grave of the auto manufacturers and, insisting that, just let them go into bankruptcy. What's the big deal? This is not, this isn't, this no more government bailouts. Well, that they had in the 12 months before President Obama took office, auto sales plunged 40%. They were in total free fall. And although it was a tough decision to make, I cast a vote in front of for the auto bailouts. Definitely, something that doesn't make you comfortable, but.
Right.
We thought that was the right thing to do, and now the auto industry has added 55,000 jobs, the strongest period of job growth in more than 10 years. And
right.
For the first time since 2004, you have all three American automakers that are major operating at a profit.
Yep, absolutely. And once again, it seems like we keep refighting the same fights. Now we're talking about these Bush tax cuts, and you've got Alan Greenspan. saying these ought to, you know, we ought to let these expire. And, you know, they, I think he was asked point blank, you know, do you agree with Republicans that they pay for themselves and that, you know, it doesn't decrease revenue? And he's like, no.
No. That's
exactly. Ridiculous.
You listen to expert economists, you listen to a guy like Alan Greenspan, they don't pay for themselves. There's almost no one, you know, except for some of the most extremely conservative economists that continue that actually crafted that that economic policy in the first place that sent us over a cliff. Most economists on all ends of the spectrum say that they don't pay for themselves. Now you'll hear conservative economists say that the tax cuts, you know, create investment, but not that they cover the cost. And that's a seven. If we allow those tax cuts, if we reenact those tax cuts, Stephanie, it's $700 billion more to the deficit.
Right.
And not $700 billion more in economic recovery.
Yeah, you got to love people that argue despite all evidence to the contrary. You know, I'm sure there was a Republican on the Titanic going, no, we built it exactly correctly.
And look,
no.
We have to take them at their word. Recall that Pete Sessions a few weeks ago on Meet the Press said that if we give them the keys again, they would go back to their exact same agenda, which would be more tax cuts for the wealthiest few, which would be a focus exclusively on what's best for major corporations instead of the working families and the middle class. And, you know, although none of us are pleased with the rate of the recovery, and we'd like it to improve, you know, even faster, we are recovering. And that's dramatically different than we were a year and a half ago.
Yeah, you know, I was just reading an interesting article by Robert Samuelson, Why CEOs Aren't Hiring. I mean, that is the crux of it, isn't it? Is that their profits are, you know, in many cases astronomical, Congresswoman. It's not like they need any more breaks. Why aren't they hiring to a bigger degree, I wonder?
Yeah, I heard a similar report yesterday where, you know, you have a lot of recovery for corporations and for big business, but not so much for, you know, the average individual person. And
right. I mean, the first line of this is, judging from corporate profits, we should be enjoying a powerful economic recovery. You know, and that's what, it doesn't make sense to me when they go, oh, they need more breaks. It's like, what? How much more profit do you need to make before you start hiring people?
Well, that's been the problem, you know, for a long time, is that they focus on bonuses for their individual CEOs and executives, and it appears that they are not aggressively hiring because they're focused more on strengthening their bottom line.
And stock prices, right?
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. that the Wall Street recovery for those big corporations was more important than, you know, I mean, I hate the cliche now, Main Street recovery. I'm thinking about making sure that individual families are able to make it every day. And that's what we're focused on in Congress, is trying to ensure that we can have economic recovery at the small business level, so that if we're going to have tax cuts, which we think we should, they should be targeted towards the middle class, targeted towards small business. That's what our small business jobs bill would help stimulate. Hopefully the Senate's going to do the right thing today, and hopefully the Senate Republicans will allow an up or down vote, because the votes are there. A majority of the Senate supports the small business jobs bill, but they seem to want to continue to use procedural motions to block it.
Right, right. Well, I mean, for instance, your colleague Eric Cantor was just on. I don't know if you saw him on MSNBC, but you know he was on with Savannah Guthrie.
No.
I mean, you know, she pressed him to admit the tax cuts do indeed increase the deficit. You know, he tried to evade the question by saying the issue needs to be looked at, quote, through the prism of the working family seeking jobs. But then when he was pressed, conceded her point was right. That's what I'm saying. Seems to me like they're not answering the question. What does that have to do with working families? You know,
they act like tax cuts don't add to the deficit. They act like tax cuts aren't the equivalent of spending, only spending does stimulate job growth. And you know, huge tax cuts by themselves really only do it in a only spur investment in a minimal way. That's why we, when we passed the Economic Recovery Act, attributed $300 billion of the $787 billion to tax cuts towards
right.
working families and small businesses, because we know that there needs to be a balance. When we were under Republican rule, their focus was exclusively on those tax cuts for the wealthiest 1%, and then we ended up in a ditch and took a record surplus into a record deficit.
Yeah. Do you, I mean, we talk about this all the time, Congresswoman Schultz, but How do you, I mean, you know, you obviously were there for this whole, you know, the vote on the getting health care to the 9/11 workers. I mean, if you can't get them to come along with you on things that would just seem like common human decency, how do we have any hope of getting anything done?
I mean, we had
jobs, bill, anything, energy.
I know. This is how, I mean, they're callous and insensitive. It's just another example of the choice that Americans have in November. We can continue to move this country in a new direction, pass a bill like that makes sure that the heroes who rushed to the scene of the 9/11 plane crashes and helped clean up, helped people who in need, make sure that they can get their health care covered, or we can go down the road that the Republicans would take us, which is Republican redux, and take us back towards an economy that focused on the wealthy, that didn't focus on the working family or the middle class, and that continues to focus on expanding the deficit through reenacting tax cuts that benefit almost no one.
Well, you know, I read one story today that really focused, me at least, on what these midterms are about. You mentioned health care for 9/11 workers, but look at health care. I mean, look how hard won health care was. You and I talked about it until we were blue in the face, and we finally got health care done, at least, you know, so you don't get discriminated against for pre-existing conditions, some of the basic things we wanted. Mm-hmm. And the headline is GOP looks at choking off health law funding. So, you know, they're basically saying, yes, they understand they aren't going to be able to repeal health care, but they're going to see if they can just choke off the money for it. I mean, and you think, is that really what you're voting for? That's what you're voting for in the midterms.
There are congressional candidates running as Republicans across this country who are running on repealing health care or choking off its funding and, you know, and pulling the funding for it, running on repealing Wall Street reform and giving and going back to the days where we let Wall Street and banks regulate themselves, essentially. They want to privatize Social Security. They want to turn Medicare into a voucher program. I mean, this is why I think you should start calling the GOP the GOT, because they are the one and the same as the Tea Party, the Republican Party. They don't know where one ends
the other begins. They've actually proposed a bill to deny funding, right, for the healthcare law.
They proposed a bill to repeal the entire thing, and they also have run amendments to cut off the funding for health care reform and not allow it to be implemented.
Yeah, well, you know, and I know that you're part of that whole thing, which I applaud you for, is because, you know, it really is true. They've done story after story on the Tea Party, and it just, you got to call it what it is. It is the Republican Party. It is, you know, it is not even lunatic fringe at this point. Obviously, in many races, like you know, in Sharon Engel, Rand Paul. I mean, this is their candidate.
They really are almost interchangeable now. You have a fight to the death going on within the Republican Party in their primaries across the country for, you know, whether it's going to be a Tea Party candidate or a more moderate candidate. The moderates just have, you know, virtually no chance. Their moderate NRCC candidates have been strangled by Tea Party candidates and won in primaries. So you're going to have a very extreme choice in many races across this country. I'm in charge of the Frontline program, which is an incumbent protection program for the DCCC, and, you know, I have many, many colleagues running who are going to have a fairly stark comparison between what they care about and the issues that matter in their own district and the right-wing fringe candidate that they'll be running against.
Yep, absolutely. Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, owner of the best brain and the best hair in Congress.
Thanks
so much for your time,
thanks
as always. There she goes,
bye.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Love her. Oh, I forgot to ask her about the conspiracy theory going around about Democratic women getting broken. I broke my foot. She broke her foot. Didn't Hillary break something? She broke an elbow or something? Get Sonia Sotomayor?
Yep.
Nicole Sandler, liberal radio host?
Yep.
I don't know. All right.
What's going on here?
Maybe we all don't get enough calcium. 48 minutes after the hour, right?
You need to visit Sally Field, I think.
I need some of that damn Boniva. 48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I have never experienced the hostility that this little show, which I think is a charming show, is engendering in the community.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
night. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 53.
I hope not to hear that song ever again.
Hi, Jim.
Jim's here early. I'm guessing it's because Aisha Tyler is coming in because it's Tuesdays with Tyler.
Yeah.
We'll see for how long.
Well, it depends on if Jim behaves himself.
You say it's Tuesdays with Tyler?
Yes.
Tuesdays with Tyler is what
Thank
you're saying.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. There you go, Shano. You have enough for the montage now?
One more. Different inflection.
Tuesdays with Tyler.
Okay, thank
yes,
you.
Thank you.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free. He probably already made it. Now he's like, oh, now the professional voice guy's here. And Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning. You know, I just recently heard what Ted Nugent wrote, and then I went ahead
about
and read
what?
Myself about how blatantly the American people were basically weak and were thin-skinned ignorance that caused the president to be elected. That we did not, that we allowed the Marxists,
we don't have cojones?
Socialists, pardon?
If we don't have cojones, is that what you mean?
Basically, yes. And that he was basically elected by affirmative action.
Hmm.
And that American people are just stupid, and that's why he was elected. Because we didn't have the cojones to actually question him at all. Now, I look at this.
Yeah, Ted, there's one thing you might want to keep in mind, and that is that he is a stick and an asshat, Ted Nugent.
Well, you know, it just blows me away that he can say this and Fox News is not beating down his door or anything, screaming, calling, asking why he's so anti-American and how he's hurting the troops and everything during wartime. But the Dixie Chicks simply say, I am, well, how do they put it? It's basically saying that they were disappointed that the president was from Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're getting their records burned, that they're getting screams saying that how they're anti-American and how they're hurting the troops and that the world's going to come to end. The world's going to come to an end because of what they said. Now, Ted Nugent can turn
he insults the entire country.
People stupid.
Right.
And nothing's being done.
Well, someone should burn all of Ted Nugent's records.
There you go.
The Beatles.
I think he should just shut up and sing.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. By the way, did you see the latest Caribou Barbie?
Oh, come on.
Why must she have been inflicted on the body politic? The president doesn't have the cojones that Jan Brewer has. Oh, dear God.
Oh, my God.
She makes me want to pour hot coffee on my genitals. I can't. That voice.
Jan Brewer is a dude?
I had whole new respect for Tad the other day because I thought, can you imagine listening to that voice endlessly?
He's a beaten down man. I can just imagine.
David in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David.
Hey, love you guys. Hey, remember when after Barack Obama got elected, the Republicans automatically ran on this. All of a sudden, there's this anti-incumbent feeling in the air, which is, you know, and for 2 years, that's all they've been running on. Their phony wedge issues, their phony narratives. It's all coming around full circle to bite them, especially John Boehner. I'm just waiting for his head to explode on Fox or on a Sunday talk show.
Oh, that's going to get orange on everybody.
Yeah, they have nothing. They need to be completely blasted out of the water from now until November because they have nothing.
Yep.
No plan, zero.
Oh, no, they do have plans. It's to repeal everything that's already been accomplished.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Aside from that, and then scaring the hell out of everybody. And Ted Nugent can continue to smear feces all over himself as far as I
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of gross at
Yeah, why do
time.
We listen to Ted Nugent about anything?
He just needs to shut up and sing.
Mm-hmm. Bernice in Santa Fe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, I could have lived my whole life without hearing Palin say cojones, you know?
Yeah, me too. At what point have we sunk to in this country where there's a someone that was a vice presidential candidate talking about the president's balls for God's sakes on television? Oh, shut up. Seriously.
You should hear it on your show and nowhere else.
Thank you.
Yes.
I mean, my father ran for vice president. He is rolling in his grave. This is a Republican vice presidential candidate. That it's like insulting the president's manhood on television.
Your father had the cojones.
Yes, indeed he did.
Everything possible about what we loved about this country.
Yeah.
But I have two quick points about immigration concerns. One, what is lost oftentimes in the discussion about immigration and Hispanics is that most of us were here since, you know, my family goes back to 1611.
Wow.
And
aren't you fancy?
We can trace it back there. Big damn deal.
Aren't you snooty, you know? Snooty old money?
Yeah, right. This is why I'm a counselor in Santa Fe, right. But so, you know, we're not all just arrived, but we do welcome those who are coming here and want to also be part of this.
Exactly. What could be more American? Lawrence Korb, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal, coming up in the next hour. Aisha Tyler. It is Tuesday, so technically it would be a Tuesday with Tyler, but Rebecca said not to say that anymore.
Tuesday with Tyler.
Stop it.
Stephanie Miller, because we don't know if she can do it every Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
StephanieMiller.com. We are apologizing on air. StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, and presumably associate producer Rebecca Taylor.
If she hasn't already left the building.
I'm sorry, Rebecca. I'm just kidding. Okay, this hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. There's just swinging barroom doors where Rebecca used to be.
Tumbleweeds going by out there.
Oh. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. I'm going to use GoToMeeting to make you print my stuff on my new printer that I'm marrying.
You can't do that with GoToMeeting. You can do it with GoToMyPC, though.
Love us some GoToMyPC.
We're checking into that, by
Eric,
the way.
Thank you. Eric in Ohio writes about the wedding of the century. Chelsea Clinton?
Confused, says
no. Steph, congratulations on your upcoming wedding. I wish you and your printer all the happiness in the world. I've been dating and kissing my printer. I'm going to marry it. It's a LaserJet, an HP LaserJet 4014.
Wait a minute. You can marry your printer, but gays can't marry each other?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
Since your father is not here to give away the bride, will Carly Fiorino be giving away the groom?
Confused.
No. No. That is so yesterday, that idea.
How do you know your printer is male?
Just, it's from its power and utility and, you know, general ruggedness.
I think you are stereotyping.
All right. All right.
Well, that's Jan Brewer Cojones. That's probably what.
It has Cojones, yeah. My printer. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. President Obama yesterday took the first steps of a U.S. Victory lap in the war in Iraq, stressing that the end of the U.S. combat missions in Iraq on August 31st will mark a key transition in the seven-year conflict. It's Operation New Dawn.
Is that anything like Commando Eagle?
No, those
it's
were
an
the
eagle without underpants.
Those were all the macho George Bush operation names that were completely ineffective and
Dawn.
Unnecessary. Yes, this is New Dawn. Emphasizing diplomacy over military confrontation, Obama cautioned that requisite military action in Iraq will continue to strain the lives of Americans until nearly all U.S. troops are pulled out by December 2011. Lawrence Korb, who was Assistant Defense Secretary on Ronald Reagan and is at the Center for American Progress, joins us now. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited about the New Dawn. Quite honestly, I think we've certainly had war fatigue in this country, haven't we?
Well, we do. But I think it's important to keep a couple of things in mind. Well, President Obama has, you know, fulfilled his campaign promise of, you know, ending combat operations. They, in fact, were ended over a year ago because President Bush did not want to do it. But in December 2008, in order for the United States to remain in Iraq when the UN mandate expired and the Iraqis became sovereign, had to agree that we'd be out completely by the end of 2011. This is not Obama. And the other thing is, in June of 2009, a little over a year ago, all our forces had to get out of the cities and towns and could only go out on operations when requested by the Iraqis. So, in effect, it was a nice speech, and he talked about it, but it's already being done.
Well, listen to what the president said yesterday.
Shortly after taking office, I announced our new strategy for Iraq and for a transition to full Iraqi responsibility. And I made it clear that by August 31st, 2010, America's combat mission in Iraq would end. And that is exactly what we are doing, as promised and on schedule.
I mean, Larry, that part is true, isn't it? I mean, I talk to these naysayers every day that thinks, oh, the president's not doing what, and it's like, this is exactly what he campaigned on and what he said, and he's
correct,
doing it.
But that's correct, but he got lucky because Bush did it for him. Okay,
right.
And I think that's the key thing. Our combat mission really has been over for over a year. I mean, in terms, as I say, we can only go out if the Iraqis request us, and essentially that's what's going to happen now because, you know, at the end of August, if the Iraqis ask us, we'll go out. And the president mentioned yesterday one of the missions is going to be counterterrorism. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, that's pretty, you know, that's a combat type of mission. I'm glad we're getting out of Iraq, you know, and I'm glad that the president called it a dumb war and everything like that, but I don't think we ought to say, gee, this was a dramatic change. Bush
right.
had it jammed down his throat. And the interesting thing was, in June 30th, 2009, when we left the cities, you know what Maliki said?
Hmm.
We've repelled the invaders.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now I think the interesting, politically, people are saying, well, look, the violence in July was up. They had more casualties than they have had, you know, in quite a while. You know, how can we leave? The point is, we have no choice. They didn't want us in, and they want us out.
Right, right. Well, I believe the president was talking about violence, though. Take a listen to this and give me your take on it. The president
today, even as terrorists try to derail Iraq's progress, because of the sacrifices of our troops and their Iraqi partners, violence in Iraq continues to be near the lowest it's been in years.
So, I mean, that part, as you say, is true. Do you have fear that that will change once we're out?
No, actually, the real key thing, we're going to have to leave someday, you know, and it didn't matter how long you stayed. The real key to stopping the violence is for them to make the political accommodations that are necessary to get all of the groups to want to support the government. The problem you have now is not the American troops being there or not, but these guys can't form a government. They had the elections in March, and Maliki lost. Now, it was close. If he were a true patriot, he'd have stepped aside. We'd have a government. But no, he's still trying to hang on to power. And the interesting thing is the people have been the most productive or the most constructive intervening of the Iranians.
Right.
They said, hey, guys, get yourself a government. Now, they would like it to be Shia-dominated, and it will. I mean, but Alawi is a Shia, but he's a secular Shia, and the Sunnis would support him. You see? So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, things they're better than they certainly were, but July was not good.
Yeah.
And, you know, while, you know, people talk about, well, the violence is down. Yeah, it's true, but Baghdad's still hell. I think we need to understand that.
Yeah. Let's turn to Afghanistan for a moment. The president yesterday.
We are going on the offensive against the Taliban, targeting their leaders, challenging them in regions where they had free reign, and training Afghan national security forces.
Don't know if you happen to see the cover of Time magazine, but that's a tough image to get out of your head. The Afghani woman with her nose missing.
Right.
What, you know, I know Afghanistan is, we've talked about this before. I mean, it really is a mess, which I'm sure the Soviets could have told us about. But what do you think of our strategy now?
Well, I think the president basically has done up to now the right thing. The real key issue is, will he begin his withdrawal a year from now? And I think you've got to do that because, again, you don't want to be, you know, bogged down there forever trying to deal with, you know, a corrupt government in Karzai, trying to deal, as we found out from the, you know, those leaks, you know, with the Pakistanis playing both sides against the middle. You need to have a negotiated solution. Is it going to be perfect? Heck no. And are women going to suffer? Yeah. I mean, and this is horrible. But look at what happens to women all over the world, unfortunately. And, you know, there's only so much the United States can do. I mean,
are you okay, Larry?
Yeah, we're powerful, but we're not omnipotent. And, you know, so, I mean, unfortunately, in Afghanistan, we missed the golden moment. We had it won. We wouldn't be having these problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I so would give you the Heimlich if I were there with you.
Yeah, no. But we diverted our attention to Iraq.
Yep.
And that, we let the Taliban come back. And now we're going to have to make the best deal that we can.
Let me get your reaction to one more from the president on Afghanistan.
The Afghan government has taken concrete steps to foster development and combat corruption. They put forward a reintegration plan that allows Afghans to lay down their arms.
What is your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, they're getting, you know, they've taken some steps, but, you know, it's like one step forward, two step backward. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's certainly, you know, we're putting pressure on them. But Karzai is going to survive. I mean, he's out to take care of himself. He'll do what he has to do to stay in power. And they're trying to reach out to these people. Who are the people they're reaching out to? They're the Taliban.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really is, you know, like I say, that was even a tough article to read in Time magazine about,
yeah.
I've always said that, you know, as a woman, it's just, this has always been a tough one for me. Not a fan of the Taliban, as a liberal, not a fan of war. What, you know,
yeah.
How do we solve this, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we had a chance. We missed it. Now we're going to have to cut the best deal that we can.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, you know, where we are. And that's why I think the president's got to start withdrawing next summer. Hopefully, the tripling the number of troops that he put in there will give people an incentive to, you know, negotiate some reasonable arrangements. But, you know, the Taliban are going to be in power in some parts, not the whole country, but they're going to be powerful in some parts of the country. And I think we have to recognize that because of our own mistakes.
I think we need to send Angelina Jolie in at this point.
Right.
she could kick some Taliban ass, I think. Larry, I'm going to leave you and the frog in your throat some privacy now.
Okay.
I appreciate, as always, your time and expertise. Thank you so much.
Okay, sure thing.
All right,
bye.
There he goes.
Oh.
Gorm, he and his frog need
I'm
to be alone
sure
for a little while.
Kick butt in a burka, though. That
might be good. She wouldn't have to wear a burka.
Why does New Dawn remind me of a feminine hygiene product, though? That's it's not exactly.
Ew!
Ew!
It just reminds me of a dishwashing liquid.
Ah, okay. You're soaking
in
it. Afghanistan, you're soaking in it.
You know, we have here at the Stephanie Miller Show have a go-to-meeting every day, and once we get past the part where Jim has to show us all the illicit pictures of Aisha Tyler he can find.
Tommy sent me some new ones.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. Mm. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That's Sprite.
That's not going to pay the
Me
rent, though.
Me and the air in L.A. equally toxic. 24.
That and secondhand smoke.
Looks like
24 minutes. Mm.
Your dinner had some secondhand smoke.
Yeah,
what is
that?
Get your face up in there and your radio. Breathe that in.
Looks like you had a little...
I had a barbecue mishap.
Yeah. And yet you're still eating it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many carcinogens are in burned meat?
It's just on the outside. I had a little flare-up. During cocktail hour, Mama can't be checking it every 5 seconds.
Wait a minute. You're against secondhand smoke, yet you'll eat all the carcinogens in charcoal.
I'm not eating the outside.
Oh, okay. I see.
Well, it's not going to hurt you if you scrape off the black parts.
Exactly.
Well, she's not scraping off the black parts.
Yes, I am. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Judy in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Start cooking with... Napalm.
Hi.
Hello. Buy my new book, Cooking with Napalm, won't you, Judy?
Sure.
All right, go ahead.
I just have a concern about the immigration reform back and forth. I would not want the workers hurt. What we need to hurt are the corporations that are hiring them.
I don't like the word hurt. I think we can help everybody, you know.
I have a win-win solution. So when a company is found to be hiring immigrants who are not legally documented.
Right.
They need to pay for the documentation, give them a living wage back to the day they were hired, and keep them here paying taxes and pay the taxes on them.
Yep, well, there you go. There you go. But yeah, the corporations like the way they have them now. They're not for that. Let's go to Mike in Dallas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how folks? How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I got a piece of advice for people like Larry and all the other right-wing whack jobs who've already chimed in on Obama and our plans to pull out of Iraq. We don't care who gets credit for pulling out of Iraq. We just want to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. Well, and I just make the point that this is exactly what he ran on. The
Today,
president.
Even as terrorists try to derail Iraq's progress, because of the sacrifices of our troops and their Iraqi partners, violence in Iraq continues to be near the lowest it's been in years. And next month, we will change our military mission from combat to supporting and training Iraqi security forces.
He said yesterday that we will obviously pull out of Iraq as promised and on schedule.
Already, we have closed or turned over to Iraq hundreds of bases. We're moving out millions of pieces of equipment in one of the largest logistics operations that we've seen in decades. By the end of this month, we'll have brought more than 90,000 of our troops home from Iraq since I took office. More than 90,000 have come home.
Sydney in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sid.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Good. Well, I'm calling. Yesterday you had a discussion about Republicans and how they are claiming that women who are single are on welfare, who have children. And
oh, Phyllis Schlafly said all unmarried women are on welfare.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, to me that is just disgusting. I actually am a director of a housing program in Hampshire County, Massachusetts. I only have 16 family homes. I have a lot more elderly and disabled. We provide low-income housing for those in need. And out of those 16 family homes in the past 5 years that I have been director here, I have had 4 women purchase their own homes, go on to be a psychologist, go on to be nurses, 3 nurses. I have one that just graduated. So I think...
Is what you're saying that you know unmarried women that are not on welfare? Is that your crazy contention?
Well, no, they're on welfare, AFDC, for as long as they need it so that they can improve their lives and move on to become productive members of society. And in that manner, what they end up doing is teaching their children that there is a way that they can also make it. So it breaks that cycle.
Yep.
What I'm saying is these men, okay, who are married to these women and divorced, or these men who prey on these women who are single, bringing up children, you know, I made a point. I had a discussion with someone. They blame the woman for having these children who are not married and are on welfare. Well, you know, for one
That's
man,
difficult to do. That's only been done once in history, as I understand it.
And this is what Republicans do, though. They blame the women, and they leave these men scot-free.
Yep, okay, absolutely.
Well, what about this? And out of the 9 months a woman is pregnant, okay, a man has the ability, if they only do it once a day, okay, which is proven that men who are 20 and under actually have the ability maybe 3-4 times a day, they have the ability to at least impregnate women 270 times.
Wow. How many times a day do you do it, Jim, just out of for research purposes?
I'm not 15 anymore.
29, but, 29 minutes
I
after the hour.
I day rated a sperm bank in those days.
Charlie Pierce next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
One day, Carl, an influx of hormones that we can't control will overpower our better judgment and drive us to pursue the...
Stephanie Miller.
Against our will.
Stop talking like that, Jimmy! You're going to give me nightmares!
What was that from?
I have no idea.
It
was there a Norris during the high voice.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We have a jingle for Aisha Tyler, who will be here in less than half an hour. We have a jingle for Charlie Pierce because he's our Tuesday
pal. There's only one man now that understands.
And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Mama. Hi, Jim Ward. Hi, hello. Chris, Mr. Vegas Lavoie.
Hello.
And we call him Mr. Las Vegas.
He is Mr. Vegas.
Yeah.
How are you, Charlie Pierce?
Oh, I'm wonderful. It's all, I couldn't be happier if I were twins, really. I mean, I'm very excited about living in this nation of ours where we're listening to everyone that really is very serious about the problems of the world.
Yes.
And I have not taken anywhere near enough LSD this morning to believe that. So.
Well, you know, I've been saying, though, I mean, look, we're used to, like, just a nation of naysayers, particularly on the right about President Obama. But, look,
no,
we're getting out of Iraq, as he said, as promised and on schedule. This is good, right?
Well, we have saved
the car industry. This is good, right?
I think saving the car industry is probably a good thing. I'll believe we're out of Iraq when we're out of Iraq. I'm not going to give the guy points for what he's planning on doing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the problems I have with a lot of people who are sort of more enthusiastic about this guy than I am, is that they seem to give him credit for planning stuff that hasn't happened yet.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, so yeah.
Well, but he did.
If the healthcare bill does turn out to be a stepping stone to a better system, God bless him. But right. I will give him credit for that when it happens.
Yeah.
This isn't phantom trading. This isn't what, you know, the old Wall Street game where you put the profit on the books before you make the trade.
Right.
And just push it down the line.
Yeah, but
he did. Yes.
But wait a minute. He did talk about cold hard numbers yesterday. By the end of this month, 90,000 troops will have come home. I mean, I think that, you know.
And it will have had been successful.
Yeah, the future, present, so, past.
I'm surrounded by a pack of naysaying mooks.
So we would have given him credit for
yes,
that.
For the blue perfect tense.
Had happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Nobody's saying nay. People are saying, we'll say yay when it happens. I mean, that's the only thing. I mean, and yes, his heart is certainly in the right place, and most of his instincts are in the right place. But let's see it happen first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens the first time, you know, there's a really bad attack on the residual force.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And somebody starts yelling within shouting distance of the election, hey, look what you're doing. You're leaving our troops out to dry. I mean, I watched Andrew Bacevich, who I really like, last night on Rachel Maddow,
mm-hmm.
and he's talking about breaking patterns of thinking, and he's talking about Afghanistan, and he said he was very disappointed that all of a sudden everyone, you know, that as he said, State Senator Obama, who seemed to have a really good instinct towards these sort of things, has been replaced by President Obama, mm-hmm. who may in fact be looking at the political realities and saying, this is all I can do. I give him credit for that, but there can't be any doubt that his attitude on these issues has changed since he got sworn in.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean attitude? I mean, this is still this is exactly the schedule that he promised. I mean, I don't think you can criticize that.
No, you can't criticize him for promising a schedule. As I said, I will believe it when I see it. I don't think we're going to be entirely out of Iraq by his deadline. I certainly don't believe the Afghanistan deadline. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that as far as I can throw, you know, David Petraeus.
And it was
nettles at all.
Which is not very far because he's sinewy.
He is richly accessorized.
Yes, and with your bad knee, you shouldn't be throwing anybody.
But it was striking to see the youthful Obama and the current Obama. It was like two different guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, that'll do it to you. I mean, remember the pictures of Abraham Lincoln? I mean, he looked like Justin Bieber when he took office. And, you know, really bad stuff happened. The country fell apart.
Yeah.
His wife went nuts. And you know.
Abraham Lincoln didn't look nothing like Justin Bieber when he was elected.
He looked just like him, except he had a beard with no mustache, which I can never forgive him for. Grow a real beard, damn it.
And he was 8 feet tall. But
there was no internet then to have lesbians who look like AbrahamLincoln.com. Charlie,
oh, although I'm sure plenty of lesbians back then looked like Abraham Lincoln.
I bet you they did. Okay,
I'm going to ask a question that I really shouldn't ask because I have a feeling I know the answer. Is there a website called lesbianslooklikejustinbieber.com?
Yes,
there is.
Of course there is. What do you think I'm referring to? It's wildly popular.
Boy, thank God for Al Gore, huh, and his invention, because who, you know,
it has eclipsed.
Been home with our legal pads drawing pictures of lesbians who look like Justin Bieber.
I invented lesbians who look like Justin Bieber.
It has eclipsed men who. What's the website we used to love?
Cats who look like Hitler.
Cats who look like Wilford Brimley.com.
No. Men who look like old lesbians.com.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Justin Bieber website has replaced that in our affections now.
Sometimes the show prep on this is really scary.
Yes.
I mean, you guys like get to the studio at 6 o'clock and, you know, 0:00 on the West Coast and say, well, let's look at let's see what's on Huffington Post.
Listen,
and the Times, the Wall
even
Street
Jim.
Journal. Yeah, let's find lesbians who have cats that look like Wilford Brimley.com. Here we go. Hey.
You know what, Charlie? It's the same show prep you do for Wait, Don't Tell Me.
It's exactly the same.
You know what?
It is.
Except I think he just created
stupid,
a new.
Except a little bit light on the stupid criminals.
Right.
You know what? I think he just created a new website because there is no women who have cats who look like Wilford Brimley, but I bet there is now because he just said it. It's cats who look like Wilford Brimley.
I already bought the domain name. Are you kidding? I bought anything that looks like Wilford Brimley and irons that look like Wilford Brimley.
Listen, even Jim
like
was
Wilford Brimley.
Jim was surprised that so many pictures
of Pakistan who look like Wilford Brimley with a tan.
Even Jim was shocked there were that many pictures of Aisha Tyler on the internet. Who knew?
Yeah, well, how'd that happen? this is becoming you're becoming Miss Showbiz. I mean, Edie McClurg, Aisha Tyler.
I know. I've gone Hollywood.
You're becoming having gone back to Hollywood.
I have a new mission that I need to talk to Aisha about. We're going to infiltrate that the conservative Hollywood cabal that meets every. Where do they meet? Barney's Beanery or something?
Yeah, and
they meet at the woman who played the wife on Everybody Loves Raymond's house.
Yes, Patricia Heaton.
Yes.
There we go. I refer to her as women who have a cat who look like the woman who was Ray Romano's wife.
Listen.
I think Charlie has a new obsession.
All right. Let's talk about Charlie.
No, I'm within easy reach of a computer, and as soon as I hang up, my friend.
Let's talk about Charlie Rangel.
Poor
Charlie Rangel.
The actual Charlie Rangel yesterday.
I just won't stop fighting until I've had a fair and open hearing. So thank you for your support, and I won't let you down.
Hmm. What was it? Did he leave a voicemail? What was that?
No, he tweeted audio.
Yes,
oh,
you can do that now.
Tweeting now?
Yes, you can.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Sounds like cheating.
Charlie Rangel's been tweeting audio since he was 70. He's...
Well, I mean, God love him. If he wants his day, he wants his day in front of the committee. He should have his day in front of the committee. But it's really time to step out of the way, Chad.
Yeah, the timing's really bad.
It's not because it's necessarily fair, but you really are becoming the biggest club in the bag.
He said he discovered some mistakes he'd made and hired a forensic accountant.
Right. He has millions of dollars worth of rental property he didn't know he owned.
Hey. Oh, whoops. Yeah.
Damn. I discovered I made a mistake by going on the Stephanie Miller show so that Minute can make fun of me.
I think everything's went downhill forever since he came on this show.
Yeah.
Where Jim was able to do Charlie Rangel to
Jim may now be in the position, and I'm really going to date myself here. Jim may now be in the position of Vaughn Meter.
Yes.
Remember Vaughn Meter?
Yes.
Being a Kennedy imitator, and then all of a sudden, one sunny day.
Do you know how much extra money Jim Ward makes doing children's birthday parties as Charlie Rangel, making balloon animals?
I believe the fault lies not with the salad, but the dressing being used on the salad.
Very good. Very good.
But, you know, let me get your reaction to the boner here on this whole
Nancy story. Pelosi said 4 years ago that it was time to drain the swamp.
Yes.
And I cannot believe it's taken some 2 years to investigate the Charlie Rangel case.
First of all, as we were saying, and I think Nancy Pelosi said, there was a friggin' criminal syndicate being run out of Tom DeLay's office.
I was going to say, excuse me, is Tom DeLay in jail yet? No.
No.
Okay,
no.
Shut up. No.
Yeah.
Please. All right. The thing is over. I mean, Jack Abramoff is out of jail now, is he not?
Wow.
Yes,
he is.
Yes,
I believe he's back out and developing a second career.
He and his black hat have ridden into the sunset together,
going door to door selling aluminum siding to blind widows. And lesbians who look like Justin Bieber.
I was saying, we're on this side of it, but to me, it is not analogous to the huge ring of corruption that there was.
Went to jail. People went to jail behind the last. Bob Ney went to jail. Jack Abramoff went to jail.
Well,
lots of other people should have gone to jail. Charlie Rangel is going to New York.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, and the other thing I was saying, and again, I admit I am biased. You know, Maxine Waters is a good friend of the show, because I'm from L.A., I know she happens to be a great congresswoman on behalf of, a lot of people, and particularly the minority housing area out here. So, she said yesterday, I have not violated any house rules. Therefore, I simply will not be forced to admit something I did not do and instead have chosen to respond to the charges made by the House Committee on Standards in a public hearing.
But we don't even have good scandals. It's like they threw out Ross Minkowski because he used
postage stamps or something. It was
yeah. Furniture.
Yeah.
There was a furniture.
I mean, again, and I don't know, you know, obviously all of the details of the water scenes, but what I can read of it, you know what I mean? It just does not seem like it reaches the level of a lot of this other stuff, does it?
Well, it's sort of crept up here now too, because one of the banks she was pitching for was located in Boston, so we have a little bit of a piece of it up here. No, I mean there's a very fine line, and will always be a very fine line between doing that and constituent service.
Right.
And I'm not exactly sure where the line is in that one, but the problem we have with Charlie Rangel is he's on the committee that writes tax policy. And
right.
He hasn't been paying his taxes.
Right.
That's the problem.
Yes. Right.
That's
right.
The political problem there. I don't see a similar political problem there for Maxine. I mean, she's probably got some things she needs to clear up with her lawyers. But I mean, I don't want to be the one to point it out. But are they ever going to like investigate any white people? Because
yeah, exactly.
You know, given what else is going
on, very
good point. These days, you know, I'm beginning to wonder.
You
know,
one orange person, I think they should investigate.
Well, they're putting up the billboard. Did you see the billboard? The 119 golfing days outside his office in Ohio.
Wow.
I don't know which website paid for it. There's a big billboard up with a picture of John, who has a very terrible swing, by the way. Just an awful, awful swing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
Obviously he's lost a little muscle tone in the tanning booth.
Yes.
But it says he's been golfing 119 days this year. He's also the one, by the way, over the weekend who said that he doesn't need experts to tell him what to do about the economy. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, good.
Economists need experts to tell them what to do about the economy.
I'm going to use my magic eight ball.
All right. Somebody from a Justin Bieber website calling you. Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America, out in paperback from the Boston Globe. Thank you, Charlie. See you
terrific.
Next week.
Talk to you next week.
All right, there we go.
Yay. I was going to ask him how he thinks Obama's going to go on Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, if they ever prosecute him, I wonder if Snooki will speak out against, you know, too many orange people being prosecuted.
Actually, Snooki mentioned it on the season premiere of Jersey Shore.
Tanning tax.
Yeah, she mentioned that Obama, she's not going to be going into a tanning booth anymore because Obama has taxed her tanning.
Yes, the man is keeping her down.
Wow. Yes, she said it's racist.
I guess she won't be attractive now.
No, she's getting spray tanning now.
46 minutes.
Why do I know this? Oh, my God.
46 minutes after the hour. Right Wing World is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can we absolutely positively guarantee that it will give me an orgasm?
Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Mike in Florida. Hello, Mike.
Hi, you're Stephanie. First time caller.
Thank you.
Long time listener. Mm-hmm. Love you guys' show.
Love you.
Love the books. Yeah, I was calling about this Ted Nugent guy. I don't see how anyone can take this guy seriously. This guy is a pedophile. Back in the day when he was turning in his younger days, because he's a little long in the tooth now, but anyway, in his younger days, he was hanging with a 16, 17-year-old girl and got the parents to sign over guardianship so he wouldn't get arrested for taking a minor across state lines to keep his libido stroked.
Yeah, there's a million Ted Nugent stories out there, not the least of which that he, you know, I love that he's on the patriotic Fox Network all the time when he went to some lengths, Jim, to get out of serving in the military, as I understand.
And the Fox Network is famous for telling left-wing people to shut up and sing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Deborah in Buffalo. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Steph. I just want to know, when are we ever going to give the president credit for doing something that he said he's going to do? Everything he said he's going to do, he has been trying to do.
Yep.
But yet we can never say, thank you, Mr. President. We never can give him credit. If he passes health care, he passed health care, but Wall Street reform. He passed Wall Street reform,
yep.
But why
yep.
can't we just say, thank you, Mr. President?
Yep. Yep.
And when are we ever going to trust this president?
Well, I'm with you, sister. Thank you. Another happy, clappy liberal.
Never question anything he
does. Exactly.
That's the only way to work. Just
that's
like they did with
right,
Reagan,
Jim.
Who you voted for.
Why must he always bring that up?
Why did you vote for Reagan?
I was young and dumb.
She thought guys would like her if she voted for Reagan.
Guys dug chicks that voted for Reagan.
All right. University of Spoiled Children.
Never. Maxine Waters, by the way, we talked before the break, said yesterday the record will clearly show that in advocating on behalf of minority banks, neither my office nor I benefited in any way, engaged in improper action, or influenced anyone. She added that she fully disclosed her assets as required by health rules, even going above and beyond the requirements by disclosing my assets at several Financial Services Committee hearings. In sum, the case against me has no merit. She said the accusations stem from her advocacy work for minority communities. She said it was the National Bankers Association that requested the meeting with Treasury Department officials. The meeting was held on behalf of the association, not one United Bank. She said no benefit, no improper action, no failure to disclose, no one influence, no case. So, you know, we'll see. She's obviously... she's opted to go to trial. She vehemently, obviously, denies any wrongdoing. She's choosing to go to trial rather than admitting ethical violations. But I'm just saying, I'm not an expert in these matters, but this looks pretty flimsy to me.
Yeah.
She simply helped an association of minority-owned banks get a meeting with the Treasury Secretary, a move consistent with decades-long track record of helping build and maintain black-owned businesses. She's been on my show many, many times talking about this. Her husband's stock holdings, by the way, in the bank represent less than 10% of their personal assets, and possibly much less, according to financial disclosure forms that require lawmakers to list ranges of assets rather than specific dollar amounts. So, a right to defend herself. So, there. All right.
So it's a tempest in a teapot.
Well, yeah. Well,
or
you
a tempest
said
in a teabag.
A lot of Republicans are these are like outrageous prison-worthy things. And Dan Rostenkowski was like stamps. Oh, what?
Something like that.
He
it
used
was,
some. What?
You used congressional posting.
As she said, the suggestion I could gain personally from one phone call made to assist the National Bankers Association in getting a meeting with the Treasury Department is not credible, even though the OCE acknowledges that the meeting resulted in no action. Although it leveled the accusation, the OCE also failed to show that I'd received any benefit or engaged in any improper exercise of official influence.
Yeah, but other than that.
I mean, I believe, as she said, she also disclosed that her husband was on this board. So, I anyway, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? Neil Cavuto.
Ew. He's the one who yelled at you.
He's a Bush defender, you know.
Yeah.
I am saying, though, that to blame these deficits and debt exclusively on President Bush, for whom you seem to have like a Darth Vader affinity, it just ignores history. It ignores the implosion in the markets, and it ignores, a war in Iraq, and it ignores this other little detail called 9/11 and a recession that followed.
9/11. 9/11. You're unpatriotic if you question George.
Yes.
And the war in Iraq was a war of choice, right. A choice made by
George
President Bush.
Based on lies.
And which was not
based
paid
on lies.
For.
Yes.
Right.
It was off the books. As
the money was swept under the rug.
Right.
Now
that,
here
Obama's
is
fault.
The brain trust known as Steve Doocy and Brian Kilmeade.
Oh, God.
John Boehner over the weekend said, these Democrats, they promised to drain the swamp. And you look at Charlie Rangel, he's Exhibit A, that they have not done that. Well, Nancy Pelosi over the weekend said, you know what? We did drain the swamp. Charlie Rangel is proof of it. And then when kind of pinned down, what's going on behind the scenes with the ethics investigation? She doesn't know what's going on. Nothing. Listen.
Is that possible?
Is that possible?
It's classified. It's all of those things. It's double secret probation. What is that about? What is this? What is she saying?
I'm out of the loop.
No, I don't find
I'm picking up.
No, it's incredible, actually. Yes. It really is incredible.
But maybe she was getting, health care and financial reform done and just letting the ethics committee do its thing.
Yeah.
No, that's crazy.
And it's really not her job to be in the middle of it. It's her job to stay out of it, actually.
It's her job to shut up because she's a chick.
Fox and Friends, it's evil with Slide Whistle.
It's stupid and evil. It's evil.
All right, Glenn Beck on the radio.
You'll notice that people in Al-Qaeda, the leaders, never blow themselves up. They just get the youth to do it. You should do it. Well, here you have SEIU and SDS in bed in California. In Arizona.
What?
Here you have these grand leaders, like Bernadine Dorn, like Bill Ayers.
Oh,
that,
Bill
they
Ayers.
Did their tour of duty. Now it's the young, and they'll reap all of the benefits.
He's comparing unions to Al-Qaeda.
Union leaders to Al-Qaeda. Uh-huh. Wow. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, we will continue Right Wing World with Aisha Tyler when it becomes Tuesdays with Tyler, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward. Associate producer Rebecca Taylor, whose life gets harder by the moment. Or me, Stephanie Miller. Why? Because we enjoy making Hollywood publicists mad. Particularly Aisha Tyler's, because it's Tuesday with Tyler.
Aisha Tyler, actress, author, and activist.
So if today's Tuesday, that gives us
Tuesdays with Tyler. Wow! Aisha Tyler!
Say, that is so exciting. Somebody assembled that. I feel so special. I didn't come in with anything today, but I'm bringing cookies next week. And yes, I owe you guys some kind of... I'll act like I baked them myself.
Good morning, Aisha Tyler!
Good morning, you guys! How exciting!
Because I did Larry King with you the other night.
Yes.
The show, not the man. And
that would have been exhausting.
Woof!
For him.
We tag teamed two hapless conservatives together.
That was excellent. Wasn't it much fun? I really enjoyed that.
Aisha and I did a terrorist fist bump in front of some Hispanic right-wing tool guy. He was trying to make some ridiculous point.
What I love about him was he was just making like all kinds of like murder scenarios in his head about us. And then I was really gracious at the end, which was very confusing. I was like, I really enjoyed this dialogue. It was vigorous and interesting. He was like, she's not evil. Bile didn't come out of her mouth. She didn't try to bite my eyeball. So confusing, the liberals, when they hug you. Why?
My favorite thing.
That does not compute. Exactly.
No, because in hair and makeup, I ran into Jim Gilchrist, the Minuteman guy, and his first words out of his mouth is, I hate you. And I was like,
that's nice. Hi.
But now he loves me, and he came on the radio show.
Oh, rock and roll. That's great.
Yeah.
When I met Ann Coulter, I should have said I hate you right away, but I let her get the first word in, and she's like, I love you. And I was like, damn you, Coulter. So much harder to be evil to you now, you
Coulter.
Damn you, Coulter. I'm going to bring my own reverb next week.
Please, you came without a reverb machine?
I know, I can't believe I had to come with my reverb. I usually take it everywhere. I'm going to be at the supermarket later with it.
Here's my favorite thing right-wing Hispanic tool guy said. He's from, what's he from, Chris? The Hispanic guys that happen to be right-wing tools or something.
Over there with the three gay conservatives and that one black guy.
The one black guy in the Klan.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're all but confused people.
But he actually said on Larry King, do you remember this? He said that we did not get comprehensive immigration reform done under George Bush because of Barack Obama when he was one senator.
Right, exactly. One senator who, quite honestly, smart and dedicated, but really young. I mean, I think the guy was just figuring out where the bathroom was at that time. You know, and he, let's blame it all on him. He's like, guys, I'm going down to the cafeteria. Anybody want tater tots? He's not blocking legislation at this point in
his
career.
He was on a big wheel at that
point. Yeah, exactly. He's just learning the ropes, man. But, you know, it's so rare to have, like, a real conversation with somebody on the other side. You know what I mean?
I know.
Just you get tired. Just get tired.
I know.
Let's just have a cocktail.
4-7.
I know. By the way, here's good news for us. Did you hear this? Gallup says U.S. drinking is up slightly to the 15-year high.
America, you're welcome.
I knew I was influential.
Exactly.
I knew I was influential in some way.
High five it over here, bam. And bam.
What?
Wait to skew the statistics. Bam.
Bam. 67% of U.S. adults drink alcohol, a slight increase over last year, and the highest reading recorded since 1985 by 1 percentage point. Way to go, America. Good job. The high point for drinking, was 76 to 78 when 71% said they drank alcohol.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the 70s, they were stressful. Well,
they were stressful, and, you know, the pill that wasn't in wide use. There were a lot of reasons to drink back then.
You know, know, how do you like us so far, by the way?
First of all, this is the nicest studio ever. I'm sitting, I don't know if you guys know this, it's because it's a progressive show, you'd think it would be modest, but I am sitting on a throne made of gold and babies. It's excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Progressive babies, of course.
Yeah, they think we're not.
Because we're stronger.
They think we're not capitalists.
Pass me the beluga caviar.
Yes, exactly. It is free range gold, just so you know. It's cruelty free gold. Don't be sad. Don't be sad about the gold. The babies, however, not free range at all.
No, we are thrilled that you're here because you are, as Jim can attest by, who knew there were so many images of you online?
Sorry about that.
He's been doing research all.
People have been doing sending you pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
But you are super hot, super hilarious, and super smart, and ordinarily you would be hated universally.
Thank you, I think.
But I cornered you at Larry King and talked you into Tuesdays with Tyler,
to which
your publicist went, she's very busy. I don't know if she can go do every Tuesday. And we're like, but we have a montage.
Yeah, really.
Do you have much time and money we spent on this montage?
I want to say something about the right always accusing the left of being lazy, not getting anything done. This woman says to me, hey, do you want to come on the show? And I'm like, yeah, you know, hey, let's chat it out. Facebook me. And then the next day, my fans are like, hey, we heard you're going to be on the radio tomorrow on Tuesdays. Why don't you tell anybody anything? I mean, literally overnight, like, people stayed up all night clacketing on their computers and making montages and
sending me
audio pieces. And I know, I was really impressed. Really.
Well,
also cornered.
Because Jim can attest to how many people I've cornered in green rooms. And then we decide whether they actually are telling me the truth or just trying to get away from me.
And I just thought, Stephanie threatening me with your ideas. Let's see what you come up with. I was thinking maybe February of 2011, I'd do a Tuesday. And it was like, I'm here. My picture's up on the wall. It's already got darts in the nose.
We have a jingle.
You already went from liking me to hating me. I hadn't even been on the air.
Yeah. Let's see what Stephanie can come up with. Yeah.
Aisha Tyler, actress, author, and activist.
So if today's Tuesday, that gives us
Tuesdays with Tyler. All right. Nice. Yeah, that's what I came up with.
So
take that.
I love it. I love it.
I wasn't aware that you're an actress.
Actress.
See, you're
like
so
my Uncle Milt.
You're so hot that Larry King was all stumbly. He couldn't even say it right. He's like,
I love Larry King. I've been on that show so many times. Every time it's a mystery. He's like, oh, you.
So when are you gonna marry me?
Don't you? I feel like you made my coffee yesterday. Why are you still here? I could be anybody. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Naomi Campbell. I don't know why. It's not ever going to...
I'm not
gonna,
sure if she's Naomi Campbell or Oprah.
It's never going to lock in.
I know
in.
She's an actress.
Never going to lock in. Ladies and gentlemen, RuPaul is here looking strangely feminine today.
He does not think you're RuPaul.
RuPaul, you're so much more feminine in person. Why do you tuck it?
All right. All right, now I have a mission for you and I. Now, you, as we all know, you play Super Spy Agent Lana Kane in the animated spy series Archer on FX.
Yes, I do. It's so exciting.
Season 2 premieres January 2011.
January 2011, we're working on it now.
Yes.
And, yeah.
All right, can I have my conspiracy music, please?
Ooh.
Here's what you and I must do, Super Spy.
Okay, crap. Now I need to have skills. Crap.
Yeah, you need to have mad skills.
I need to work on my skills. Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. We need to infiltrate the conservative Hollywood cabal, which I've just heard about.
So I'm so excited to hear about this because I didn't realize there were enough to make a cabal. I don't know what that's... How many are a quorum? How many is a cabal? 7? 11?
It's
three.
Bruce Willis and Chuck Norris. That's
oh, it. Good
no,
Lord.
No, they exist. They're out there. And I'm going to just say I went back to my Republican roots. You, I don't know, like Jim said, you may need to, you know, put a white hood on. You might be like,
my
you know,
grandparents,
the one black person in the Klan. That's how you like, no, I'm really conservative.
My grandparents, also you can dazzle them with boobs and then they don't really care what you think.
Boobs.
We don't know what she's, we don't have any, we don't care how she votes. Look at them. Bow. My grandparents are both Republican delegates, so I know how to talk to them. Yeah, I know.
Me too.
Yeah, I can talk to them pretty.
I have blood relatives. Anyway, mm-hmm. All right, hit the music. Okay, most politicians make their Hollywood debuts, you know, the fancy house parties, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Carly Fiorina made her entrance in It's Friends of Abe, which sadly was not Abe Vigoda, and they mean Abe Lincoln. If it was Abe Vigoda, I would have so been there.
16th President of the United States, Abe Vigoda.
It's a highly secretive club of conservatives in the entertainment business. They meet informally at Barney's Beanery. Do we
really?
Want to go to Barney's
really?
Beanery?
Yeah, keeping it classy, America.
The no homos allowed sign up there. Oh, okay.
We'll be like, gee, does it have to
homos
be here?
With an E, like it's misspelled. Yeah. They can't even insult you properly. No homos.
You don't even need direction. You can just follow the scent. Oh, is this where the conservatives
are? We're keeping it classy.
Yeah, okay. All right. The GOP-leaning crowd had its annual blowout in mid-June at the, Gary Sinise's ranch.
Wow.
They called it the right-wing Woodstock. Frasier star Kelsey Grammer was there via video.
It's right-wing Woodstock. Instead of it being like happiness and dancing and drugs, it's just like bourbon and like strange physical contact. I'm not going to hug you, buddy.
Lots of firearms.
I'll shake you and stare you in the face and try to intimidate you.
Cool. Dennis Miller was there doing his show.
I'm not really conservative, but I thought it might help my career.
Yeah. Eric Cantor was there. Oh, and Eric Breitbart was also there along with John Voight, who was emceeing.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy.
Oh, cue the spittle.
He's 10 kinds of crazy.
All right, that is
that's it. What's exciting?
Super spy, Aisha Tyler. That is our mission. We are going to infiltrate.
No homos or girls, I think, would be signed. That one woman, they couldn't get one over there.
Mark Cherry was there.
Mark Cherry.
One homo.
Mm-hmm. One homo.
How exciting! They also have to. That's like him. You know, they always have to have the one. We got to have the one so that look. We're not a racist. Look at our crazy party chairman.
We got a black
who doesn't even know how to like walk to the corner.
Lee Greenwood was there performing his patriotic brand of country music. It's the gay bashing.
Let the eagle soar.
Ashcroft.
It's the only crappy conservative song I know. I need to learn a new one. There's got to be more than one, right?
I'm proud to be an American. That's his one hit. It's a medley of his hits.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah. I feel that way, too. I'm proud to be an American.
What?
I really don't like the idea that they think that progressives don't love this country. I love this country so much, I would make out with it. I love it, man.
You would give America a tongue.
I would do a lot of stuff to America. I can't even talk about it on the radio.
People are lining up.
In America, I'd break some personal rules for America. I love this country. some deep, dark sexual humiliation because I love this country that much.
Aisha Tyler wants to put you in bondage, America.
Yeah, I'm going to spank you, America.
America, you've been naughty.
You've been so naughty.
Okay, this conversation has taken a
it's going to go there every time I'm here. I don't know why it always ends up
okay,
there.
Here's the part where I make your publicist happy. Aisha Tyler will be at the Denver Improv.
Yay!
We love Denver.
City by the Bay.
We love you, Denver! City by the Bay!
August 12th through the 15th.
I don't know, that was awesome.
17 minutes.
That?
Will Ferrell.
That's so great. I really wish that
you'll
was
know
real.
It. You'll know it by the bay. She's playing right next to the bay.
Right next to the big bay there. Next week from this weekend. Beautiful
awesome.
Denver, Colorado.
Awesome. And she will have to make good on her promise of what she's going to do to America. She was going to start with you, Denver.
Line up.
She loves you.
To either be hugged or tased, depending on how I feel that morning.
18 minutes
or
after
both.
The hour.
Yeah, some guys are into that.
Much to Aisha Tyler's publisher's chagrin, Tuesdays with Tyler is going awesome.
Yeah,
we'll be
is.
Right back with more.
Awesome.
18 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
A mecca of misdemeanors.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Aisha Tyler. It's Tuesdays with Tyler, everybody.
Hooray.
And she just said she is here to provide whatever services we need. I said, do not say that.
Like many a young conservative Republican, I immediately retracted my statement.
You were having foreplay with your phone, though.
Licked my phone. Now, here, let me just say quickly.
Yes.
This company has not paid me any money.
Yes.
I really hate that you can just, like, I'm a person, and I function in the world. I go to the supermarket. You know, I sit on the toilet. Not very often.
At the
usually,
same time?
And flowers usually come out. But the point is, I'm mostly like you.
Yes.
But you can't just speak freely without somebody suspecting your motives. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I really wanted to get a white iPhone. And they're like, it's apocrypha. There's never going to be a white iPhone. I've worked through that. So I thought, well, instead I'll get a white Evo. And I tweeted that. I was so frustrated with the fact that I couldn't get my white iPhone. I was going to get a white Evo. And then, like, 10 people accuse me of being paid by Evo. And if I'd been paid by Evo, I would have my freaking Evo already. You know, I had to go drive to, like, the Inland Empire and, like, you know, steal money out of a hobo's cup and, like, you know, crawl into the freaking Best Buy and beg for the phone.
Yes.
Anyway, that being said, this phone works so
yes.
awesomely.
You said, let me show you how I feel about this phone, and then you licked it.
The hell out of it. All up in its phone face.
I'm dating
what
my...
What I do to America, because I love you so much, America. Okay, sorry.
I'm dating my laser printer. I don't judge.
It's so rare that technology works well and does what you want it to do, or even transcends your expectations.
Yes.
That, like, this has all the, like, the little... All the apps for, like, the online stuff is just so easy to use and, like, simple to navigate, and it's powerful. And it has a pretty picture on the front that moves.
Yes.
I'm easily impressed, apparently.
Buddy in Columbus, thank you for sending Jim so many preparation pictures of Aisha Tyler. Who knew there existed so many pictures on the interwebs?
Thank you, Jim, with a question mark at the end going up.
Hello,
Do they
buddy.
I really feel that way.
You guys got to realize that Jim is an actor, a craftsman, and he has to get into character.
Yes,
right, exactly.
Huh? Yes.
I mean, it's not like he's like that just on his own.
No,
he's a. I look at just radiating professionalism at all times is what I am feeling from this side.
Speaking of which, two things. Number one, that poor guy sitting between you and Steph on the Larry King show.
Yes.
Oh, Alfonso.
Yes, we had him on the radio show. What's
Alfonso
his name?
Alfonso Ribeiro. Oh, no, that's the actor from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I was going to say that, too.
No. He was so nervous, and I guarantee you he was rocking.
He was afraid. He was afraid of us.
He was rocking the pants python.
Yeah.
He was not.
Afraid and confused.
He was not rocking the pants python.
But I do think that if you don't interact with progressives, especially like liberal women, very often.
Yeah.
You fear them, and then I was nice. I hugged him.
I was nice too.
Yeah, we were nice. We were just, you know, vigorous discussion.
I got the name of his organization wrong. It was not Hispanic Guys That Happen to Be Right Wing Tools, but it was something close to that. Conservative activist something.
All right. Bags are us.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Alfonso Ribeiro, also known as Not Will Smith.
poor guy.
All right. Mini-me. Aisha, since you are here to service us, as you said,
I'm going to regret those words.
We were in the midst of the right-wing world. Have a little Glenn Beck, won't you?
I'm still waiting for my Shirley Sherrod apology from the president and his people.
Douche.
What
I'm waiting for the president
about?
To apologize to me for me being a douchebag. That's what he just said. Please, president, apologize to me for my douchery. Anytime you want to get on that, be great.
You know, but seriously, this poor woman, they can't even... She was about the graciest.
I've never seen anybody more gracious than this person. She was run out on a rail. She didn't even really protest.
Right.
She just thought, okay, fine, this is the way it's played. I'm not gonna dignify this with a bunch of yelling and screaming.
Right.
Maybe I don't even want this job anyway if I could be discarded this easily and without investigation.
Well, you know what I said? When they said, you know, they were offering her a unique position, I would have said, you're in a unique position to kiss my black ass. That's what I would have said.
It's so cute when she says it.
Yeah. Stephanie all piquant.
She actually had a black ass grafted onto her.
For precisely such an occasion.
Seriously. Outrageous. So they still have no decency. They can't just apologize.
So they grab a piece of manufactured footage, right? Propagate it like crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Mormons on parade.
Yeah.
And then, when they're proven wrong, go, the president needs to apologize for listening to us. Or, you know, or for whatever. Like this
He's
hair
so
trigger.
Stupid.
I mean, the big problem is they're so afraid of being accused of being racist in the White House. Or being race, you know, preferential. That, you know, they just, everything is like this knee-jerk reaction.
Didn't it seem a little skosh bit racist that they had to find the white farmers to back up her story?
No one would have believed the black ones. We've already established that. It was, you know, and the white farmers were so nice. They were like, we love us some black people.
Thank you, black lady, for our farm.
Thank you, black lady, for having my kids not starve to death.
Yeah.
That was awesome, how you saved us from dying.
And then Breitbart was pooping his pants. That's not the real ones. How do you know?
Right, how are those real white people? They don't even seem white.
They're farmer plants.
Yeah, they're so tan.
All right.
Andrew Breitbart. I'm going to pee on his foot.
You might like that.
Have some Newt Gingrich.
Well, I think to raise taxes on people who create jobs in the middle of a 9.5% unemployment rate is frankly crazy. It is going to increase the number of unemployed Americans because the people the president's talking about, his wealthiest Americans, are the people who create jobs. They're the small business owners. And they're not going to hire anybody when their taxes go up.
Why does anyone listen to anything?
I just love it. Like we all wanted to say something, and then we're all like,
"Look, It's called the Fortune 500, not the Fortune 50 million.
Right.
It's
right,
not
right.
going to, even if they are in the business of creating jobs, it's not going to be that many.
Yeah. I also just find it interesting. I don't know. I mean, I'm in this bracket of people that he's crying and screaming about. And I guess, and I've actually met other people who have said, this is one guy I met while I was doing stand up, and he's a lovely guy. And I was working with him when I was doing a club in somewhere else.
We're going to have to tell the rest of the story after the break. Aisha Tyler reminding you that she is hotter than you are, smarter than you are, funnier than you are, and richer than you are.
Oh, no.
We'll be back with the rest of that story next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's just, I'm beautiful and I'm bright and I deserve better.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, as we continue Tuesdays with Tyler.
Good morning.
Aisha Tyler's with us. She had the misfortune of having a T name.
Yeah.
And we had Tuesdays open and running into me at Larry King last week. We have Mondays with McClurg, Tuesdays with Tyler, Hump Days with Hal Sparks. We have Fridays with Fugelsang, and you have came up with a brilliant idea, Jim.
Thursdays with Thad Allen.
Yes,
Thursdays with Thad.
The Coast Guard
guy. Kind of drone on and on and on for 3 hours and talking about things like spell cap, dap, 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 dap.
Folks are managing these conditions on scene tactically and have to make decisions without complete information, sometimes under conditions of uncertainty, because we have never used dispersants at this level before. That was done, and to the extent that there's an issue about it, I'm the National Incident Commander, and I'm accountable.
Oh, it's Thad's fault, the dispersants, Jim. See?
Oh,
we're
going to
ask him about that on this Thursday with Thad.
Does he know he has to be here? Call his publicist. I'm sorry. He's trying to save the four fish that are still left in the Gulf.
Yeah.
He can't do Thursdays with Thad. By next Thursday, we'll have pulled out, so then he'll be available.
Who should have known anything would go wrong? It's something that was banned in England because it's highly toxic. We put it in the water anyway and let him get away with it, and I'm droning on and on, and I will not do that.
I had somebody the other day say to me, how is oil really even that bad for you? It's a natural substance.
Oh,
like, so is arsenic. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so is urine. Drink up.
I'm an animal lover, so that's the thing. When it gets to the animals, I can't.
It's just
by the
so
time
upsetting.
You're pouring the Dawn on the...
Well, it's...
Oh, and the little wiggly, waggly bird. I know.
Yeah, but
that
the
new ASPCA commercial, I can't.
I haven't even seen it. I can't. I can't even do it.
But
I can't watch those because then I don't want to eat steaks.
Which is the biggest tragedy, really.
That really is. They're ruining my life. Yeah. Hey, thanks for ruining Saturday night dinner.
All right, you have one last bite of Right Wing World, by the way. Did you see that? Fox News got the...
top story tonight. Fox News getting a front row seat in the White House briefing room.
Ugh.
The far left is going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So how did it happen?
Yeah.
Move on, Ms. Sweet, and other left-wing concerns are screaming about this. President Obama, he couldn't have blocked it even if he wanted to.
No, what the Fox? After the Breitbart thing, we got Fox in the front row.
Right, in the front
They're
row.
They're not a real news organization.
Suck it up the joint where you can see them.
Just propaganda, pure propaganda.
Right.
And
they'll get to ask more of those Fox questions.
So, President, this morning when you ate babies.
Yes.
Yeah, like, just like
always
a question.
Always the premise
of
the question.
Yeah.
Did you use salsa or maple syrup?
Yeah, so POTUS, when you're meditating on being pure evil, about that.
What have you done today to hurt white people?
Do you hate white people more or less than you did yesterday?
Exactly. So when you're angry at the crackers, tell us.
Are you more of a socialist or a communist?
Do you hate my cracker ass, Mr. President?
Cracker.
Patty, speaking of monstrosities on Fox, Patty in Fort Lauderdale, Steph, how strange that the English-only conservative crowd uses a Spanish word, cojones, without seeing the irony.
Mm-hmm.
Why, thank you. Yeah.
Irony is not the purview of the right, honey.
Oh.
Not
they
any
are
way.
Irony deficient, aren't they?
Yeah, the real irony is just like...
Did you see?
It's just like a black
irony
hole.
Did you see, Sarah Palin, when did it become all right to talk about the president's balls on television? When? Did you see that?
The president doesn't have the cojones, secure the border like Jan Brewer did.
Well, so apparently Jan Brewer does have the cojones.
Apparently. Apparently she knows things about Jan Brewer.
Pendulous, dangling cojones. And then now we circle back to Larry. And where do you tuck them? where do you tuck it?
Oh, by the way,
feminine in person.
It's actress Aisha Tyler.
Actress.
Sarah Palin blames her upside-down approval rating, by the way, on the media. She said, if I believed everything I read or heard in the media, I wouldn't like me either.
She doesn't like herself. She just was an admission. I actually don't like me.
Yes, in the media, they quote it's her confusing. Directly.
Yeah, they just literally take, yeah. Maybe don't put stupid Facebook status updates up there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no one's writing anything for you. We just retweeted you, lady. It's yeah. all your words. We just added the RT at.
Exactly. The quitter from Twitter. All right, let's do some celebrity stack. Charlie Sheen pled guilty to assault in a Christmas Day argument. Argument? With his wife. He was sentenced to 30 days in rehab, 30 days of probation, 36 hours of anger management. That'd be funny if he and Mel Gibson were in the same anger management class, wouldn't it?
I know who would be the apple polisher in that class. Please, Mel, just put your hand down. Put it down, could you? We someone else has got to answer at some point. Just put your hand down, buddy. Put your hand down. Don't suck up so much around those. Come on.
Oh, who hasn't had a spat that ends up with a knife in someone's throat?
Right?
Or knocking your wife's teeth into your baby's mouth. Really, that's how my wife bites
tooth.
Yeah. Charlie Sheen denies threatening his wife. He says he did snap two pairs of her eyeglasses in front of her.
That's hilarious. Now, that's funny.
That's
I'm
like
doing
that commercial.
Next time I get in a fight.
That's that commercial with the raccoon. And then, you can't see her with the raccoon in.
I have to tell you, I mean, I'm not trying to mock whatever kind of terrible thing, but that's hilarious. Just go up and just, hey, I'm going to mess with your ocular situation. Snap!
Huh?
Lens craft of that, bitch! I don't even know what that meant, but I enjoyed it.
They have both, he and his wife have both completed alcohol rehab, though.
Aww.
So I guess that was...
It's sad. Being married's hard.
How long have you been married, Aisha Tyler?
16 years, man.
Oh,
I know,
really?
Right? I was married when I was 10. Thank you. Good night.
Papa-tow! Does your husband is he a jealous man? Does he care that people salivate over you?
I think he just blocks all of that out, like terrible childhood memories. No, you know, it's interesting. I just think, like...
Has he perfected the stank eye?
Oh.
When other men are looking at you.
Just goes around breaking bottles and goes, I'll cut you all dead!
And then he breaks your glasses.
And snap!
Are you looking at my wife?
Snap.
Now you're going to start barbecuing dog food by mistake.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've been together forever and since before I was in the business, and I think he just realizes that that's an aspect of the business that is just there and you can't really control it.
Yeah.
And
the internet must have made already jealous men insane, don't you think?
Right.
Like, it just, where did they get that picture of my wife?
Right.
Just, I'm shut down this inner tube.
He gets the inner tube. He gets the Google alerts. which I've turned into one word, Google alert. He gets the Google alerts. And the Google alerts are occasionally very upsetting.
Sure,
yes.
As an activist, you would say that.
Yeah, he just kind of goes, all right, oh, there you are, okay.
And you said you always have the same reaction, the girl thing. What was I thinking when I wore
Why
that?
Why did I wear that? Who
Particularly
that?
When most men would prefer that you wore nothing.
Yes.
Speaking of those pictures, I got an email from somebody. I just brought up AskMen.com. I was perusing Aisha's gallery. Picture number 4 almost gave me a heart attack. If I was at home, I don't know what I would have done.
We
I have a pretty good idea.
All right, there. Hand me McFisterson. Go back to work.
If you're driving, stop
there
it.
I will say that I've protected him somewhat by, I mean, you know, I did Max him, which when I did it was a very specific choice about people saying that comedians can't be sexy. And I thought, I'm going to do this thing to prove that you can be funny and you can also be sexy. I'm never going to do it again.
Henny Youngman did the same thing.
Right. Yes, he did. Yeah. Wow.
I learned
that. Songity bong bong.
I learned that a long time ago in the back of the Laugh Factory when I first met you many years ago. And I thought in my, you know, in my Mean Girls kind of.
Feel it.
I'm like,
you know,
she's too
it.
Pretty. She's
I deserve it.
Funny.
I deserve it.
And she said, I'm like, who's supermodel? Whatever, Naomi Campbell, fine. And then she went on stage, hilarious. I was like, oh.
You know, I'll say this about that. I love what I do, and I'm passionate about it, and I'm committed to it. And I don't mind. You know, people are going to say they're going to feel how they want to feel about it. They're going to say what they want to say.
Right.
I have people come to my shows, and they're like, I saw you on TV. And I was like, this broad, not going to care about anything but her hair. And they're like, but you really don't care about looking like an idiot up there. I'm like, no, I do not. That is my
well,
job.
Here was the other layer of my disillusionment from my life is I had already learned to live with the fact that you are gorgeous and really funny. However, now that I've been on Larry King with you, I was not prepared for you to be that smart.
Oh, you angel.
About politics. And
now my world
has imploded because...
No, we're going to hug it out. We're going to hug it out. We're going to drink together. It's going to be awesome.
Careful. She'll break her other foot.
I'm here for you. I'm so klutzy. I've broken every single thing in my body. This is tall girl problem.
Guess what?
This is just tall girl issue. You know what I mean? Oh, there's a wall there. Was that there a minute ago? What happened?
There's one I haven't run into
yet. This is like Inception.
How tall are you?
6 feet tall.
Are you really?
Yeah, just the
in
world is just a giant. It's just obstacles for me to like navigate. That's all my life is about. Not bumping into stuff.
You can You could put the star on my Christmas tree this year.
I could. I could put the star on your Christmas tree.
Look
at
what he
your
can
house.
Do.
I could re-roof your house on a step stool. Let's do this.
One, all right. 2 foot guess step what? Stool. Mel Gibson's ex is getting out of this whole thing. She is in negotiations for Dancing with the Stars.
I'm sorry, who, when, what the...
Oksana Grigorieva.
This just goes to show you that infamy has completely surpassed fame in this country. Mm-hmm. We've got all these people who've got recording careers.
Mel Gibson may have knocked your feet out, but you can still dance.
Exactly. Limp over here, young lady with a moderate mastery of the English language. Be on a TV show. You're qualified. What, do you have a green card and a second grade education in Bosnia? Let's do this.
Radar Online has released text messages that he sent to Oksana Grigorieva after their infamous phone call. You know, the one where he suggested that she might be raped by a pack of...
Oh, yeah. Yes, he's good times. Literally, I need a time machine to go back to every time I ever interacted with him and take it all back. Literally, I need to go and take it back.
You do know him?
I do.
How many times have you interacted with him?
Just a couple of times I've interacted with him. You know, I sat in for Roger Ebert when he first was sick. I reviewed Apocalypto. Oh. In the interest of full disclosure, I loved Apocalypto.
Me too. I thought it was very good.
This was after the first meltdown. And I thought, you know, look, there's no excuse for being a Holocaust denier, but the stuff that he said, I thought maybe he was just drunk and
That's what Jiggy Mason said.
Right.
No, I think early on he said something about gays. You're like, oh, maybe he's just a macho Australian guy.
I don't remember the stuff about gays. The people were telling me about it afterwards. I was like, oh, I should have Googled harder. But I did not remember that stuff. And then later I saw him and I was like, look, I just want you to know I loved this film and I really respect you as a filmmaker. And he's, you know, nodded at me and thought about how he's going to like barbecue me in his backyard. I had no idea. No idea. I shook his hand and then he turned around and
washed his hand 20 times, disinfected it a thousand times.
Where's the Purell? Purell! I know, I can do this way.
Purell, don't fail me now.
Take my hand, but you can never take my Purell! and now I need to go back in time and stab him in the neck with a pencil.
Well, almost is like that. What is that poem about the, you know, Holocaust about, you know, I didn't stand up for whoever because I wasn't gay.
Right.
I didn't stand up for whatever. And then there was no one left to stand up for me. Because I know one group after another, like, oh, well, maybe he's, now it's like, oh, he hates everybody.
Right. He hates everyone. And I got to tell you, I don't think any of us want Natalia Guldigareva. I think we're interested in her. My people.
Anyway,
I'm speaking on behalf of my people. No one wants her.
His tweet was, I'm drowning in self-doubt and depression and pure rage.
Oh.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. No, Mel, never doubt that you are the biggest stick in Hollywood.
Right.
Seriously.
Oh, seriously.
No doubt. No.
Just asshat. We can say that. You don't need to bleep asshat.
No.
You know what? He's going through menopause.
He tweeted, your damn mailbox is full. Every minute is like an agonized eternity. F word.
He's so frustrated that he can't control the planet
around.
And how it spins. It's hard to be very, very wealthy and still not be able to make yourself not a douchebag.
He's like that PSA about the rude texting. Are you there? Are you there? Why won't you answer me? You are making me mad.
And maybe he thought he was buying a wife and then she was like, I'm going to do this myself. Don't touch me. I went to them all alone. You stop trying to control my life.
46 minutes after the hour, Lady Gaga has some thoughts on her vagina, and we will too.
Hmm?
As we continue.
She has a vagina?
Yeah. That's the real story.
Tuesdays.
You buried the lead.
And where do you tuck it, young lady?
Tuesdays with Tyler continues on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! Golly, that sure was fun!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
A child is black, a child is white, the whole world looks upon a sight, a beautiful sight.
Get it! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. In the midst of a spectacular debut of Tuesdays with Tyler.
It's so exciting.
Aisha
so
Tyler
exciting.
In
so
studio
excited.
With us. Julie in Seattle writes, Aisha Tyler, delightful. Mama, Aisha Tyler's fantastic. It's about time you got some estrogen amongst all that white male mookage on your little show. Make Rebecca send her flowers, a male hooker, something. Just get her back next Tuesday, Julian. All right, we're trying. Listen.
Male hookers, good times. Otherwise known as, he wants a Coulter.
Lady Gaga says, I have this weird thing. If I sleep with someone, they're going to take my creativity from me through my vagina.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, Lord. Is that where it lives?
Yeah.
If that's where your creativity is, perhaps you're in the wrong.
That's where Elton John's creativity
that young
is.
Lady, that lady, that's where
it's in his vagina?
Actually, Jeff Ross has a great joke about this. But wouldn't it great be? It's Jeff Ross's joke. Wouldn't it be great if when you slept with people, you actually got skills instead of a disease, right?
Like, I'm going to hump you until you can play the accordion.
So maybe she's got a point. It's his. She's just biting. Jeff Ross, Lady Gaga's biting your stuff, so you need to give her a call.
Yeah. There you go. Giselle Bundchen. Am I saying that right?
Giselle Bundchen.
Yes.
Bundchen.
Exactly. She thinks there should be a worldwide breastfeeding law. If you're a mother who does not breastfeed your newborn, Giselle thinks you should be imprisoned immediately and forced to hand your kid over to Salma Hayek or something along those lines, according to Delisted. Giselle, who's been a mother for all of 8 months, thinks that there should be a law on the books that states all mothers should, no matter what. I people get very exercised about that.
Oh, the La Leche ladies, right?
Oh,
they're like,
yes.
Yeah, oh yeah, they'll shoot you in the neck with a dart for giving your baby formula.
She said, I think there should be a worldwide law, in my opinion, that mothers should breastfeed their babies for 6 months. Delisted writing, the highly important committee that's in charge of passing worldwide laws will get on that as soon as they pass a law stating Giselle Bundchen should keep her pie holes shut in public.
Yeah, let's just say this about Giselle Bundchen. It's all very well and good when you're an A cup and pregnancy gets you to like an A+, all right? But when you're already rocking like a C++, I'm not letting anybody suck on this that's not paying the rent. Let's just say that right now, okay? All right, enjoy. When her body pops right back to, oh, my God, can you see the jelly bean I ate this morning after she's had a baby?
Yeah.
She doesn't get to tell anybody about anything.
You know, probably the biggest predicator of you not breastfeeding when you have kids is if you've had a friend that did it. You ever – I've been over to a couple friends' house, and I'm like
right, where one of the nipples is pointing towards the
bleeding
living room
and scabbing.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh.
Exactly. I'm going to the store. I'm going to have directions. Let me show you with my nipple. No, I do believe, actually, breastfeeding is the best thing for your babies. It gives them all kinds of antibiotics. They have better brain development. Of course, you should if you can. You should breastfeed if you can.
Yes.
And then you should go punch Giselle in the neck.
All right, Chris, can you take your organ out for me, please? One of the founding fathers of the cheese doodle has died.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Delisted writing, Britney Spears in the fetal position on the kitchen floor this morning because one of the men who gave her the meaning of life has gone off to heaven, where everything you touch leaves your hands looking like you just gave a hand job to a cheese puff. Maury Yohai, who helped create the cheese doodle, died July 27th at the age of 90. Rest in peace, Maury. Just like a cheese doodle, life is a precious gift that only lasts a short time. Or is it just like a cheese doodle, life is filled with a bunch of that not even a piece of floss can get out.
Can you just imagine him, packed in his coffin, just surrounded by cheese doodles, like kind of packing peanuts?
Peanuts.
Just send them off gently. Send them off into the afterworld. Nice and gentle. No breakage.
Charlie in Los Angeles, you're on with Aisha Tyler. Hello, Charlie. Yeah.
Hi, this is 6'1" Charlie.
Hello.
Oh, okay. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Aisha, you are a funny, funny woman, but I looked at your picture, and there's nothing funny about the way you look.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm just saying.
Thank you.
I want to ask you a question about Maxine Waters, you know, my favorite congresswoman. What do you think about these ethics charges? I think the ethics committee needs to its ethics investigated.
So I saw this pop up last night on the Drudge Report, but I didn't read the article because I only look at the Drudge Report to get angry and then stomp around the house and break stuff. I don't actually read anything. I just look at a headline and go, damn you! So I don't know what they are.
What, Charlie, I've been talking about this earlier in the morning. I mean, I happen to be a huge fan of Maxine Waters, and I these charges to me just, they really do seem a little fishy,
trumped
you know?
Up. Mm-hmm.
Trumped up, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie, is that what you're saying? I mean, that's what I'm saying, right? Is that it seems...
Yeah, there's nothing to it. You know, this group was being excluded from the TARP bailout, and so they asked to have a meeting set up. She set up the meeting, didn't even go herself, and some of the companies got a few million dollars. That's what happened.
What's interesting to me is I feel like there's a lot of grasping at straws right now. I feel like it's like your dad when you bring a guy home in high school and he's like, I just don't like the look of him. I know he's doing something. It's like they just need to find these things and they'll find anything. You know, the Sherrod thing didn't work and now they're on Maxine. And, you know, what was interesting was we can point to times during the Bush White House where there was all kinds of backdoor dirty dealings going on.
Yeah.
And they've been proven. It's not like a suspicion. He was in the room while, you know, all the oil guys like didn't like oiled up and got on the floor and humped each other and had a big scrum and then rolled around in money. You know what I mean? We know that happened. But meanwhile, like nice old Maxine was like, sure, set up a meeting. I'm leaving now.
I know what you mean because I actually had a flashback to my dad in college. I dated the guy named Dave who was 6'5", mm-hmm. and that's all my dad ever said. He's just like, he's big.
Too big. So big.
Damn, he's big. Yeah,
such a big one. He's big. Big like that, you know, they're up to something.
Exactly. Like, it just was something, exactly. Something
the,
bad.
The big ones, they're just not good. So I just feel like that now at this point it is just a grasping at straws. You know, but you think about, like, everybody's to be in politics, you have to be so circumspect because everything you do is under scrutiny.
Right.
And things that you did that were perfectly legal or perfectly ethically okay are still being scrutinized. Right. Whereas, you know, me, hey, if you make change for me and there's an extra 20 in there, I am running for the door, skiddly doo dah, and I hope you don't get fired. All right, so I can never run for office.
Speaking of places, Aisha Tyler is running. She's coming to.
We love you, Denver, City by the Bay.
August
12th through the 14th, I think
so.
Or yes, 12th through the 15th, Denver, Colorado, I think is the state. The lovely, lovely Denver Improv, and you can get information, I think, at improv.com. But come visit AishaTyler.com, yeah. Or
please
follow me on Twitter.com. I don't know if you've heard of the Twitter.
Come to the Stephanie Miller Show every Tuesdays, where it's going to be Tuesdays with
Tyler. Hey, stop talking about your own life, Aisha. Or you can see me here, or, you know, in your head. But listen to me here on this wonderful show, which I'm so happy to be a part of.
We love you, Aisha Tyler.
Oh, you guys are awesome.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.